Welcome to the Echo Community Church Podcast. At Echo, we're all about being and making disciples of Jesus Christ. And on this podcast, you'll hear solid teaching from the Bible from our pastors at Echo. Thanks for checking us out and enjoy the message.
We have a special treat this morning. My friend and a friend to so many of us, if you've been with Echo on any part of our journey, Chris Songson, Pastor Chris, has been vested in our journey as a church and in my growth and development as a pastor for almost 10 years. He's been a coach to us ever since we were in the high school, just meeting as a campus, and helped us in that time of transition from campus to becoming a sovereign church. He has poured into my life hours and hours and hours over the last decade. And just a little bit about him, he is first and foremost a follower of Jesus. He is a husband. He's a dad. He's now a granddad three times over. He has recently made this massive change. It's almost like a missionary journey. He and his wife are no longer residents of California, and they moved to a state very similar called Arkansas. And so he'll tell more about that, but like, he has relocated. A big reason behind that is his children are grown, and his daughter and son are both married. His daughter is now having kids, and there's three grandbabies now in Arkansas, and some of you who are grandparents know that has a way of just redirecting the path of your life. He's now a resident of Arkansas, but he planted and founded South Hills Church, which has grown into a huge mega church with multiple campuses all over the world. He gives his life now, travels 180 flights a year all over the country, all over the world, getting shoulder to shoulder with pastors and coaching and helping pastors who are discouraged and who are ready to give up. And he and his team come alongside them, and they are rescuing churches all over the country. And he gives his life to pouring into pastors, into teams, and trying to rewrite this script that is the failing, declining church in America. And so he was kind enough and gracious enough to come and spend a Sunday with us, teaching us and pouring into us, and then giving us an opportunity to do something about this in our own homes, and then join together and do something across our nation. So I want you to just sit up, take good notes, listen, and will you please welcome back Pastor Chris as he comes this morning?
All right. How's everybody doing today? Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? I got one. Let's try it again. How's everybody doing today? Awesome. It's so great to be able to be with you guys today. And I think church should be the funnest place to be all week long. And so I want you to put a big smile on your face, you good-looking people, at least most of you. And just, man, let's have some fun in church and put a big smile on your face. It is so awesome to be able to be with you guys. And I just encourage you to lean in, take notes, laugh when it's not funny. Let's have some fun. You're going to be here anyway. You may as well have a good time. And so let's hang out together. Again, my name is Chris, as Pastor Phil said. And first of all, I got to tell you, I travel all over the nation. I know a lot of pastors all over the nation. And I got to tell you, and Pastor Phil and his beautiful wife, you have amazing pastors. Would you give them a huge hand and just love on them and tell them how great they are? We, as Pastor Phil said, before we jump into it, I'm the founding pastor of South Hills. We have a bunch of locations. I don't do a lot of the day-to-day anymore. I gave that to someone else. I'm still involved. But it's a big church, got a lot of things going on. But we spend a lot of our time with Church Boom and a lot of our time rescuing churches. Right now, America, get this one, America is closing three churches for every one that open. How many think that's a disaster? It's a disaster. And the darker, when the lighthouses go out in America, America gets darker. And how many used to say years ago, man, America's not the same place it was 20 years ago. It's not the same place it was 20 months ago. It's like common sense has become a superpower. And you'll get that at lunch. And it's just changed. And about 4.5 years ago, I got a bunch of pastors together. I'll talk about it at the end. And I said, look, man, America's closing more churches than it's opening. And it's happening on our watch. And we're going to do something about it. And we've been fighting to keep America's churches open. So we created this thing called Church Rescue, which I'll talk about at the end. Living in Southern California all my life at the beach, San Clemente Beach. I've been married for 34 years. Come on. And she's hot. And she's Mexican, and she doesn't speak any English, but that helps us get along. And because we don't even understand each other. But But I've been married for 34 years. We have two amazing children, and then this third one. No, I'm totally playing. And then we have three grandkids, two granddaughters, grandson five, 3 and 6 months old. How many are grandparents here? Come on, raise up your hand, grandparents. Is it not the best thing on the planet? It's way better than parenting. It's God's gift to you for not killing your own kid. That's really what it is. And we love it. I was holding my granddaughter recently, and my adult son says to me, "Dad, it's like you love her more." I said, "No, it's not like I do. I do. You had a good run. It's over for you. It is the best thing on the planet." But if you got a Bible, go to Genesis chapter. We'll be hopping around all over the place. I think we'll start in 12. But Genesis, and if you don't have a Bible, next time at a hotel, get one. They're free. I steal them, and then I sell them on eBay. I'm trying to rescue churches, people. But I want to introduce a friend to you of mine. I've talked to you a little bit about family, but let me introduce your friend to you. Put him on the screen for him if we could. That's my buddy Cam. Say Cam. Cam is a good-looking dude. Love that guy. And so a few years ago, I normally get a haircut there in San Clemente Beach, Southern California, at the same place my wife does. But the lady that cut my hair was sick, and I was leaving on another trip. I needed to get a haircut. So I walked into a barber. I'm in a full-on barber shop, kind of a cool hangout place in California. It's called Shark Tank. And you go in there, and there's, you know, and everybody in there is cool. There's African-American guys that are barbers. There's Asian. There's white. There's Hispanic, whatever. One thing they all have in common is they're all just cool. Like you walk in and everybody's just tatted up and they're just kind of really cool. There's nothing cool about me. Nothing at all. I heard you laugh. You didn't need that hurt. And there's nothing cool about me. I know that. And every one of them, when I walk in, that, you know, and I kind of know all of them now, like, "Hey, Grant," you know, and they try to shake my hand, but I don't know what to do because I'm just not cool. So, you know, I'm like, am I supposed to bunt? I don't know what's going on. And so it never really works out. But this is Cam. Now, Cam, originally from Atlanta, now lives in California. Cam, over the years, I got to know Cam in conversation with him, and he opened up to me. Cam, when he was 13 years old, was in Atlanta running drugs for his dad. So dad would tell him to go run them. He would run them to wherever, some neighborhood or whatever. By the time he was 16 years old, he is now going in and out of jail. He is running drugs, dealing drugs with his dad, but also doing drugs. And an addict. And I sat down with him one time, you know, as he's cutting my hair, which only takes about 8 seconds. And still costs $30, and there's not much going on up here. But I sit down with him, and I'm like, and we're talking, and I said, "Hey, Cam," I said, "you do realize," I said, "that you got this generational thing happening, don't you?" And he goes, "What do you mean by that?" And I said, "Your dad is a drug addict, and your dad is a drug dealer. You've been a drug addict and a drug dealer." I said, "When you have kids, what do you think is probably going to happen?" And I said, if it's generational, he goes, "Well, they might end up like me." I go, "Are you okay with that, Cam?" And we started to talk about this thing called the family script. Every family, your family, has a script that's being written. What you're like, what you're about, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, where your insecurities are. And they kind of go generationally. So I drew out something for him I want to show you. Put it on the screen for me. I drew out him this. I said, "Look," I go, "there's grandparents, and then there's parents, and then there's children, and then they have children." And I said, and so what happens is, if you notice the baton, it just gets a little bit darker, and it gets a little bit worse as it goes on. And Cam's like, "Okay, that makes sense." And I began to talk to him about the family script. And that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to give you 3 laws of the family script. You may be a parent. You may be a child. You may be a grandparent. You're somewhere in one of these 3 right here. Or maybe you're all of those 3. But for all of us, there are things in our life that just kind of move along. And I want to talk to you about 3 laws of the family script that are true. Here's law number 1. Put it up there. Law number 1. Say it with me. The issue what? Come on. 1, 2, 3. The issue what? And it typically gets what? Okay. In generational. Okay. Here's what happens in our life. From grandparent to parent to child, and it keeps on going. The issue travels. It travels. I looked at Cam. I said, "Cam, it's traveling, man. It's traveling." It went from your dad. I said, "I don't know what your grandpa was like." And he goes, "Well, he had some problems too." I said, "Of course." I go, "Because the issue travels. Help me out." And it typically gets, one more time, typically gets what? it just gets darker. I said, have you spent more time in jail than your dad? He goes, yeah. I go, because it's getting darker, Kim. It's for everybody. We all have that. Now, your issue that in your family, in your own life, if you were to late, if we were to have time to talk, and I could go to each one of you and go, what's the biggest thing going on that you don't want your kids to have in your life? And maybe they already have it. What's the biggest issue? The script that's being written for your life. Okay, it's maybe for most of us, it's not going to be, well, drug addict or dealing drugs. It's probably not you. I hope not. But maybe that's not your issue. But maybe your issue is something like this. Put it on the screen for me. Maybe your issue is one of these. Maybe you operate in so much fear that now your kids are starting to do that. Maybe you operate with avoiding conflict. Maybe you operate with a fear of commitment. Maybe laziness. Maybe suppressing emotions. Hard time saying I love you. Hard time forgiving. Greed, envy, cheating, whatever it is, lying, whatever it is. But there's these things that we all have that just sort of get passed down from maybe from our, the generation before us to the generation that's next to us. And we all have it. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to identify. What is the single greatest thing that you're thinking, I don't want my kids to have that. I have it. And I don't want my, we all have it. Every one of us have things in our life. You know, one of the things is my wife, for me, we just moved to Arkansas and we got a little place there just 3 months ago. 4 months ago, something like that. And I've never lived anywhere outside of California. And if you've ever been to Southern California, it's a world unto itself. And now we're in Arkansas. And I'm telling you, it is totally different. I'm learning to chew now. I mean, I'm trying to blend in. And I got night crawlers inside my glove box. It's all happening there in Arkansas. And it was funny because I was sitting at the gas station. The guy pulls up and he's got a deer, dead deer, in his back of his truck that he killed. And I'm like, what happened? He goes, oh, I killed, you run it over. He goes, no, I shot it. I'm like, this is so not, I'm not used to that, you know? He's like, where are you from? I go, California. He goes, you guys don't shoot things? I go, not animals. We just shoot each other, but not animals. We're not barbaric. And so, you know, we kind of talk. Now, someone asked me recently, what has annoyed you the most? Or what, you know, what's different? I go, it's the way they drive. They drive so slow. It drives me nuts. No one's honking their horns. No one's yelling at each other. I'm like, it doesn't feel like home. They're so slow, you know. And I was sitting at a stoplight recently, and my wife's like, I go, look at this guy. He's taking forever. My wife's like, would you calm down? You're so impatient. I go, no, I'm not. You know, because that really convinced her. But I am. And I'm watching that in my life, and I look at my parents, and then I look at my kids, and I'm like, it's just happening. And I'm not saying that's a monster issue, but it's an issue. We all have issues. And I want to introduce to you three guys in the Bible. We're going to talk about three laws. We already talked about law number one. But I want to introduce three guys in the Bible. Okay, they are synonymous with each other. If you've ever been around church longer than a year or two, you've probably heard their names always put together. Help me out. Abraham, what's the next guy you usually hear? And then what's the third guy? Isn't that weird how we always hear those three names together? No, nowhere else in the Bible. It's always those three names. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Abraham. He's kind of the grandpa. Isaac, he's kind of the son, the parent, and then the son. It's three generations. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are heroes of the Bible. If you go to Hebrews 11, it talks about heroes of the Bible. Abraham is a hero of the Bible. They are godly men. They are obedient. They love God. They did miraculous things. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But there is a family secret that I bet most of us have never picked up on. There's an issue that they have, and it traveled through all three generations, just like it does with your and I issue, and it got darker along the way. It's a family secret. It's a little bit of gossip that no one really understood or put together, and I want to put it together for you because I want to show you even Abraham had issues. Now, Abraham, godly guy. Let's talk about the first one, three generations. Abraham, godly guy, obedient, does all these miraculous things with God's help. There's a song about him. How many have been around church long enough to know the song about him? Father Abraham had many sons. Come on. Had many. And then what do you got? Right arm, left arm, nod your head, turn around, sit down, you know, the whole thing. Now, Abraham, there's a song about the dude. He's a major player in the Bible. But he has a problem. And we pick it up in Genesis chapter 12. Pick it up in Genesis chapter 12. Let's take a look at it. in Genesis, in Genesis chapter 12. It says, as he was approaching the border of Egypt, Abram, better known as Abraham, and his wife Sarai, which later became Sarah, look, you are a very beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, let's kill him, then we can have her. So please tell them, you are my sister. Then they will spare me my life and treat me well because of their interest in you. Now, Abraham's never lied before. We don't see anything in the Bible where the dude ever lied. But we find right here in Genesis chapter 12 that for the very first time we see in the Bible, he lies. He says, hey man, this is my sister. She's not my wife. He lied. Even though, because he was afraid. He was fearful that God, that they would hurt him and hurt his wife. She was fearful. And out of his fear, he lies. Now, in our human thinking, we're probably thinking, hey, not that big of a deal. He just lied, you know, because he was afraid of what was going to happen to him and his wife. So he lied. No big deal. But you got to understand, Abraham's never lied before. He had no reason to lie. If he was afraid, he'd been in trouble before and God bailed him out. Why would he lie this time? But he lied. But the very first time, he lied. And then in Genesis chapter 20, he does it again. Abraham lies a second time. So he doesn't just lie once. Stay with me. Abraham lies twice. And this time when he lies, he tries to justify it. So he lies once in Genesis 12. Then he lies again in Genesis 20. And he tries to justify it. This is becoming an issue. Now, Abraham's about to learn a hard lesson. He never lied before, and he lied. Eight chapters later, he lied again. And he tried to justify it. And he's about to learn a hard lesson. He's about to learn the law of the family script, number two. The first one was it travels issues, travel, and they get darker. Look at number two. The law of the script, family script, number two. What doesn't get repaired gets repeated. Say it out loud with me. Come on, everybody in the house, on the red line. What doesn't get what? What doesn't get gets what? Whatever doesn't get repaired gets repeated. He's going to learn that right there. As the generations go, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whatever doesn't get repaired is going to get repeated. And it's going to get repeated in his life. And he's finding it out with his son, Isaac. So let's go to Isaac now. Pull up Isaac. Here we go. Isaac, man of God, loves God. Abraham has a son named Isaac. What's Abraham's issue? Not patience or greed. What's the issue? He does what? He lies. How many times did he lie? Twice, and he made an excuse about it, right? Okay, so let's go to Isaac. Here we go. We're going to pick up Isaac, his son. Genesis 28, or 26, verse 7. When the man who lived there asked Isaac about his wife, this is now Rebekah, he said, she is my sister. He was afraid to say she's my wife. He thought they will kill me to get to her because she is so beautiful. Hold on a second. Did you guys catch this? What happened here? Did you catch that? Abraham lied and said, she's not my wife, she's my what? Isaac says, oh, Rebecca's not my wife, she's my what? He doesn't even know about Abraham's lie. There's nowhere in the Bible that they knew about each other's lie. Isn't that interesting? It's insane because it's the same exact lie. Matter of fact, Abraham lied about that situation 25 years before Isaac was even born. How in the world does Isaac lie about the same exact, I mean, literally, it's the same exact thing many, many years later. Why did he do that? Because here's the reality, and put it on the screen for me. Children learn patterns before they learn words. Children learn patterns before they learn words. I know that in my own life. I'm watching my own kids, now adults, doing things that I do and thinking, I don't like that they do that. You know, my son came and visited us. I was home for a couple days. I travel a ton. I was home in Arkansas for a couple days. And my son and his wife, they don't have any grandkids yet, so they're out of the will. And there's no joy coming my way. And so They come to visit us, and we take the 5-year-old, 3-year-old, the grandkids. We make little signs. We stand there waiting for him, you know, and we're all waiting for my son and daughter-in-law to come out, you know, from the little terminal doors. And all my kids are excited, the 5- and 3-year-old granddaughters, and they're holding signs. I pick up my 5-year-old, I'll never forget. And I go, man, are you excited? Uncle Aiden's going to be here any minute. And she's 5 years old. She goes, man, she goes, your breath smells. And I said, what? And she goes, it's like dried fish. I go, you're 5. How do you know what dried fish smells like? All you ever eat is chicken nuggets. How do you know? Dried fish. So anyway, he comes through. They get all excited. They run out of my arms and they chase him. They tackle my son and the daughter-in-law and I hug my son and we start walking towards the baggage, you know. And I look at my son and he's got this brace on his wrist. He works for Amazon. And I said, hey, what happened? He goes, oh, the roof on my Amazon truck a few days ago wouldn't close right. He goes, so I just got mad and I punched it and it sprained my wrist. And I'm like, man, what's wrong with you, man? I go, why are you so quick-tempered? You're so impatient. And I look over at my wife and she goes, and where do you think he got that from? Now I'm breaking my son's wrist. I didn't even plan on it. It's going from generation to generation. And it typically, help me out, the issue travels, and it traveled from my dad to here to my son, and it always gets what? It always gets darker. It always does. This is what's happening here. This is what's happening. Now, let's go back to the story. Now, this is interesting to me, very, very interesting. Abraham lied how many times? Help me out. Come on, how many times did he lie? Twice. And he made an excuse. He said, well, the only reason I'm lying is because of these people. He made an excuse. Isaac lies, same exact lie, which is crazy, same exact lie, but he doesn't even make an excuse. It's almost like Isaac is going, it's just who we are. It's just who I don't need to make an excuse for it. It's just who I am. He accepts this sort of behavior. Abraham lies, make an excuse. Isaac lies, doesn't make an excuse. But now Isaac is about to learn the third law of the family script. He's about to learn a very tough lesson when he now has birth to his son, Jacob. And here's the law of the family script, number 3. If you don't deal with it now, they'll deal with it next. Okay? Isaac's like, I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not going to make an excuse. We just lie. Well, guess what, Isaac? Because you won't deal with it now, Jacob, your son, he'll deal with it next. And it's only going to get worse. And it's only going to get darker. And it's true for Jacob. It only got worse. And it only got darker. Genesis 25. Now we're fast forward to Jacob's life. You know what Jacob does? He lies to his own brother Esau to rip him off of money so he could get it. Genesis 27. He lies to his dad so he could get more money. Do you see what just happened here? Abraham lies but feels bad about it. Isaac lies, doesn't feel too bad about it. Now you go over to Jacob, and now he's not just lying, he's deceiving because he wants to get personal gain. It went from lying and feeling bad about it to lying so you can have personal gain. And by the way, the name Jacob in those times was a word for deceiver. Could you imagine if you gave birth to a child this next week and you're like, okay, what's your son's name? Oh, deceiver. Yeah, put that on the birth certificate. That's his name, deceiver. Okay? And so he goes from lie and feel guilty, lie and don't feel guilty, to lie and let's get some personal gain out of it. You see what happened here? Let's put it on the screen. Is lying move from being a symptom to being a strategy? That's what happened. It went from just being a symptom to being a strategy on how to live his life. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, it just traveled. It always does. And it typically just keeps on getting darker. But there's hope. I don't know what the thing is for you. If I'm honest, without telling you everything about my life, there's a lot more than just being impatient that's an issue. I got other issues where I'm looking and I'm going. A while back, I asked my son, hey, how you doing with this, this, and this? He goes, Dad, I really struggle with that. First time he's ever said it. And I thought, so do I, but he doesn't see that much in my life. I'm thinking, how did he just pick up on it? Because it just travels. And it's just getting darker. And that's the script that's being written for our family. This is just who we are. This is just what we do. This is just how we act. This is the struggles we have. And we all have a struggle, and you got to decide, what am I going to do about it? Now there's hope. The hope is this, that the past doesn't need to describe you. It doesn't. It doesn't need to describe you, and it doesn't need to define you. You can change that. I can change that. We all can change that. You know, my wife and I, we met in youth group. I was 14, she was 12. We started, became boyfriend and girlfriend, and got married. And been married 34 years. And that's how young it was. So if you have a 12-year-old, just be careful. If they're hanging out with a 14-year-old out there, run a credit check on him, see what he's worth. You got no earning potential, you're out. And so we're 14, 12. We came across, now I got to tell you, my wife would tell you if she was here, I'm very big on very unique gifts. I don't like, it's a sweater. I don't do that stuff. Some of you from Three Amigos will get that. Some of you don't have a clue what I just did there. But, you sweater, whatever. I always do something very unique. A few years ago, I did something very unique. And my wife always asked me in December, what are you going to get me? What are you going to get me? What are you going to get me? She always asks. And so what happened was December rolls around. What are you going to get me? And I told her, I said, you know what? I'm going to tell you this year, or at least most of it. I already bought the gift. She goes, you already bought it? It's December 1st? You already bought it? I go, actually, I bought it December 26th of last year. She goes, you bought my gift the day after Christmas last year. I go, oh, yeah. And then, yeah, it was on sale. It was a BOGO. And then she goes, well, was it expensive? I go, $7. She goes, you spent $7 on my gift on December 26th. And I said, I absolutely did. Well, what is it? I go, I'm not going to tell you. Christmas morning rolls around. She opens it up. She's in front. We're in front of the whole family, like 30 people there. And there's two little journals. And I marked, I put it on the one. I put one and number two. I go, journal number one. I go, you can read the first page. It says December 26th, and then the year, which was the last year, the day after Christmas. And I journaled every single day for 365 days on reasons why I love her. Aw. See how the women around here are going, ah. The men are going, jerk. I know what's happening right here. 365, and it's so funny. And she's like, I love it. She doesn't say, you're so awesome. She comes to me and she's crying. She gives me a hug in front of everybody. She goes, you're so consistent. I'm like, that's it? Not you're good looking. You're a man of a man. Nope, you're consistent. But we were talking a while back about our youth group days and how we met in youth group. I got saved as a teenager. My family didn't grow up in church. I got invited at 14 years old to a youth group, gave my life to Christ. My buddy there was Eddie. Eddie became my buddy in the youth group. His mom would always say, no matter what, if we were going to go across the street, go to 7-Eleven, get some stuff before it's church, whatever, young kids, she would always say, love you, son. Love you, love you. When I was 17, I finally asked her. I said, you tell your son, Eddie, my buddy, you tell him you love him every time. Why do you do that? And she goes, because I love him. I want him to know. And then, she's a grown adult. I'm 17. She looks at me and she goes, do you not do that in your house? I go, my dad has never told me he loved me, ever. I go, we don't do that. You know what she said to me? She said, well, you're 17, and I don't know if you're going to get this, but someone's going to have to break this generational cycle. It's traveling, and it's getting darker. You know what she really told me? Someone's going to have to rewrite the script. The script's being written, buddy, and you're going to need to rewrite it. I went home. I remember going home, and within a week, I asked my dad. It was just him and I in the kitchen. I said, hey, Dad. I go, did Grandpa, who he passed away years before, I go, did Grandpa ever tell you he loved you? He goes, oh, no, never. And I was only 17, but I just thought, well, he never did it. Then my dad never did it. Chances are I'll never do it. That's what she meant. You got to rewrite the script. So you know what I did? I rewrote the script. I tell my kids every day I love them, which I'm sure a lot of you do, and my grandkids, and I'm watching my daughter with her kids. I love you, and their kids, and I love you, and I'm thinking, we rewrote the script. It's because some lady at a church when I was 17 said, if you don't break this cycle, it's just going to keep on going. We didn't express love in our family, and you're going to keep on doing it. I decided on that day I was going to rewrite that script, and so did Jacob. Jacob rewrote the script. Look at it. It's such an amazing portion of scripture. Genesis 32. It's our last portion of scripture. We're going to wind it down here in a minute. Genesis 32. Then, look at this. This left Jacob, verse 24, all alone in the camp, and a man, now we find out later the man is an angel, comes and wrestles with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched out his socket. Then the man, the angel, said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me." Now, here's the interesting thing. What is your, help me out, what is your what? Come on, what is your what? Okay, if you're an angel, how many would think, you probably know the name? Probably. Why are you asking him? Why are you asking him what's your name when you already know the answer? What did the word Jacob mean? Deceiver. You know what it is? He's saying, I need you to admit it. I need you to own your issue, man. I need you to say, I do this, and this is who I am. And so he answers and says, I'm Jacob. My name's Jacob. And he says, your name will no longer be Jacob. The man told him, from now on, you'll be called Israel because you have fought with God and with man and have won. Jacob meant deceiver. Israel meant that God ruled in his life. That's what it really meant. You see, God gave Jacob a name that connected him to his calling, not his character. You're not Jacob anymore. I already know your name. I just needed you to admit it. But you're not that anymore. Jacob rewrote the script. Jacob had a family that lied, and it just got worse. He was deceiving his own family for money. My own life. Hey, man, you got to rewrite the script, or your family's never going to be expressing love. And I chose to rewrite the script. At 17, somehow God helped me to get it. My buddy Cam. I love that guy. Cam, the barber. You saw the picture. You know what's happened in the last few years? He's given his life to Jesus. I gave him a Bible. He reads it. He goes to church every Sunday. Love this one. He's in school, and he graduates this year with a bachelor's. Recently, he had his five-year celebration of being drug-free. I put it in my calendar. Remember, this is a cool, hip kind of barbershop in Southern California. Everybody's shaking hands every which way. I don't even know how they do it. And I remember, I put it in my calendar that his day was 5 years. So I went and bought a cake, and I brought it into the barbershop. And he goes, what are you doing? We don't have an appointment today. I said, that's a cake. He goes, for what? And I go, today's your 5 years. He did everything he could to fight back the tears. Now, what did Cam do? He rewrote the script. This ain't going to be my family anymore. I'm stopping, right? And I can guarantee his kids will be different. At some point, you and I have to rewrite the script and say, no more. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm getting this out of my life. If I don't get this out of my life, it's just going to keep carrying on, and we all have the issues. I've got three or four of them. And you think, well, my kids don't know that I struggle with that. Oh, don't worry. They'll pick up on it. DNA transfers. Oh, Isaac had no idea his dad lied, but somehow he picked up on it. They'll pick up on it. So you got to change it. You got to rewrite the script. My script is different than Pastor Phil's or yours. I got issues. We all have issues. You got to rewrite that script. You got to rewrite it. Now, I'm not responsible for your script, and you're not responsible for mine. I got to rewrite my script. You got to rewrite your script now. Not next week, now. Now, there is a script that we all have responsibility for. And you know what that script is? It's the script that's being written for the local church in America. In the year 2000 was the first time America closed more churches than they opened. Year 2000, 25 years ago. Everybody thought it was a fluke. But it just kept happening more and more and more. It went to closing 1.5 for 1 to 2 to 1 to 2.5. Now it's up to 3 to 1. America closed in 2025 just shy of 15,000 churches, 300 a Sunday. Folks, I just know this much. When the lighthouses go out in America, America gets darker. And I realized this a few years ago. I'm like, man, we've got to do something about this. I brought about 4.5, 5 years ago, I brought a bunch of pastors together in a room in Dallas, Texas. And I said, we all got big churches. We could all just ride into the sunset. But we got a major problem. And revelation requires responsibility. When you know about a problem, deal with the problem. And so we said, we got to do something. We got to rewrite the script, you guys. This is horrible. Let me just show you quickly. Just put the screen up there. Look at this. Here's the script for America's churches. You can go look it up yourself. Axios on the top left, 15,000 churches could close this year, which it did. Newsweek says U.S. decline in religion among the biggest in the world. The decline in America is bigger than any other country in the world in religion. Bottom left, churches fight to stay open as attendance dwindles. Look at the right one, USA Today. Churches are closing faster than new ones are opening in the U.S. These aren't articles from 5 years ago. These are all articles in the last 12 months. Folks, this is the script that's being written. How many believe that Jesus wants us to fix the script? Come on, we got to rewrite the script, because this is happening on our watch. Not happening on our great-granddad's watch. It's happening on our watch, and we rewrite the script. So I told those pastors in Dallas, I said, look, man, I said, let's start coaching pastors of churches that are dying. We'll put them into groups of five or six, and we'll coach them for free. I'll pay all the coaches, but they'll do it for free. And then they said, okay, what else? And I said, well, what if we send them on a retreat for 4 days? We'll coach them for 2 years. We'll send them on a retreat. We'll pay for that too. And if they need emergency funding, we'll pay for that too. I remember one of the guys like, how are we going to pay for all this? I go, I have no idea. But what a concept. And we just started partnering with amazing churches like Echo Church and hundreds across the nation and business leaders across the nation. And we raised money to rescue these churches. Just in the last 12 months alone, we rescued 352 churches. And we're rescuing more and more and more and more, and we keep at it. I want to thank you, because when you've given to Kingdom Builders, you're helping us rescue churches, because you guys are supporting monthly to help. Thank you for doing that. All we do is take that money and rescue churches. I want to thank you for doing that. And I want to give you a free gift. If you have a phone, pull it out right now. That's the thing you've been acting like you're taking notes on, but you're texting. Don't act like you're not. I see the difference. Grab that. It's a QR code. It's a free digital book. If you want a hard copy, it's a few dollars. It'll tell you how to do that. But this is a free digital copy, and you can get that right there. Now, these are 11 stories from 11 different pastors and how they've been rescued by Church Rescue and our initiative of Church Boom. So make sure that you get that and read that. It's a free gift just to say thank you, Echo Church, for coming to the rescue. Thank you for helping us rewrite the script. I'm so grateful for it. And I want to show you one video. It's a church in Vermont, in Rutland, Vermont. They were down to 33 people, and they were going to close their church forever. They were talking about it, and they reached out to us, and God turned that thing around. And this is a church that was going to close, but God turned it around. Now the church runs about 500. It was going to close forever and be another lighthouse down. This video you're about to watch proves that rescued churches rescue people. And I believe that rescued churches will rescue America. And this video will show it. Check out this video, and then your pastor will come.
I called the representative of this church, and I just said, hey, listen, what's the vision there? And the response was this: man, we've been without vision for a long time. We're looking for someone to come in and essentially breathe life to this community. I mean, I think it was 3 days later, I was headed here. We walked in, we noticed, like, some friendly people, but just a few people. In fact, our first Sunday pastoring this church, there were 33 people. We did such an incredible job that first Sunday. The next Sunday, there were 28 people. And we knew that we had an uphill climb, but we absolutely knew that God had his hand on this place. We had a vision. We had just an incredible desire to see God do something huge. But there's a big difference between having a vision and having all these ideas and implementation. And that's something that Church Boom does an incredible job in coaching, is the implementation of the strategies and ideas and things and making them come to life and fruition.
God calls us to grow, and God doesn't just call us to comfort. And so moving here, it was definitely not a comfortable choice, but it was a choice of faith in growth. And sometimes with growth comes pain and challenge, But when God gives you the call, all of it is worth it.
We had got pregnant in September of 2022. So we were expecting a baby boy in 2023. He was diagnosed with a disease called CDH. He had two tiny little lungs. So so he didn't make it. Yeah, he didn't make it. The support that we had was huge. Because to be honest with you, going through that without the people that are like, without the people that we have and without our pastors, I don't know how we would have handled that.
It was nice to know that we could heal privately while being prayed for corporately at the same time. Like, we were given space to grieve together, but also we had so many community members and church family members that were grieving alongside with us and just taking care, really good care of us. And we've since welcomed two little girls, and they are very wonderful.
So one day, at the end of my rope, depression is at its worst, anxiety is at its worst, and all I'm thinking about is ending my life. So I'm driving around, and I work down the road, so I drove right past the church, and I thought to myself, maybe I should reach out to Vin. Something in my heart told me to reach out to Vinny, you know, because I was going home, I was gonna get my gun, and I was gonna end it, because I couldn't deal with it no more. The depression, the anxiety, just, it was so much that I couldn't take it. And so I messaged Pastor Vinny, and he replied, and he said, come down and see me. If it wasn't for him meeting you in this church, becoming what it is, then I wouldn't be here today.
I believe the Lord is continuing to use all the things we've learned from Church Boom and our continued partnership to really make a mark on Rutland, Vermont, and the entire state of Vermont. Both campuses, all campuses combined, including kids, we're a 500 person church. It's been an incredible journey so far, and it's just beginning.
Man, isn't that encouraging? So encouraging. It makes it so relatable when you hear firsthand a real story from a real team and a real group of people about the value and the transformation they experienced by being part of this network. And then you hear the stories of the people in their congregation or people from their community who were in real crisis. And literally, in the case of the gentleman who was riding on his bike past the church on his way home, ready to end his life, the fact that the church was still opened and the pastor had a new sense of vision and mission was there and available. It doesn't take too many dots to connect to see how mission critical this truly is for the church in America. So we're kind of at the place this morning where you and I have to decide, what am I going to do with what I heard? What am I going to do with what I heard today? You invested 68 minutes of your day, and a good chunk of it was spent listening. And if you were listening, if you were truly listening, and I've been truly listening to the teaching from the Bible, and I know I promised you we were done with Genesis, but just one more today, right? But if you really listened, how can you truly listen and miss God speaking to something personal in your life, right? Like, I'm listening to that, and I'm like, yep, and I've listened to it twice, and I need to sit with it some more. And be just honest with God about things in my life that I know are issues, or that I know are broken, or that I know are sin, and they are chronic things in my life that I know need to be dealt with. So why not now? Why not today? And that's my challenge. What are you going to do with what you heard? What are you going to do with it personally? So here's some calls to action. Here's something you can do today. On your way out this morning, I want to encourage you to do this. On your way out, on your left, there'll be a round, tall table just next to where the bottled water is. And on that table are little individually packaged erasers. And on those erasers, it says, rewrite the script. Now, I ought to pause here. This is something called an eraser. Back in the day, people used to write things with pencils. And I, some of you know, and I'm in that group, right? You used to write things with pencils, and when you made a mistake, you used an eraser, or if you couldn't say it right like me, you said re-racer, which makes no logical, how can you re-race? Anyway, and you had to scrub the thing off, and it would scrub the lead off, and you could write again. If you know that at some point this morning, God put his finger through the Holy Spirit on something in your life, and you said, you know what, God, that's me. That's an issue. Or those are issues. And you know what makes it easier when you have the teacher saying, hey, I'm going to make this a safe place. Let me share with you some of mine. Man, that just lets the walls drop on our own heart. And we say, all right, we're all in this. We all have broken things that we don't want to pollute or pass on to the next generation or people around us. We want to stop. And you're not too old or too young to think about this. If there is breath in your lungs, there is never a wrong time to do the right thing. And so what I'm encouraging you to do today, and what Church Boom has invested in us, is they've made enough of these available for everybody who wants one to take one of these home and put it somewhere where you'll see it. Okay? Put it somewhere where you will see it. You don't need to take it home and try and use it on somebody that you're trying to erase. Like, that will hurt them. We're not asking you to do that. But put it somewhere to remind you of the moment you had today, and every time you see that, you're like, you know what? I said yes to giving God access to rewriting the script for me. So you can memorialize that moment. That's what God, why do you think Israel was putting up piles of rocks everywhere all the time? You know why? It wasn't because it was great architecture. It wasn't because it was easy labor. It was because God knew, you know what, 2 weeks from now, after the euphoria of the moment wears off, you're going to start to doubt again. Oh man, if we could just go back to Egypt where he's buried, he's going to tell you to go look at that pile of rocks and remember that day I broke through. You don't have to have a pile of rocks. Just take a little eraser home with you. Put it somewhere and remind yourself of the commitment you made this morning to say, God, I confess it. And I'm saying yes and okay to you rewriting that script in me. Because that's really the work. What's the work that you do? Cooperate and surrender. You just say okay every day to what the Holy Spirit's doing in your heart and let him rewrite the script in you. So take one of those home and put it somewhere where you will see it. The second thing is when you take one of these things, you're also saying, Pastor Chris, you're not alone in helping to rewrite the script of churches in America. Because while the personal script, all of our stories is different, there's a story we need to rewrite together. And that is the story that's being told about the plight of the American church. And it's not just a national one. You read the stats and we say, oh, ooh, that's tough. It's right here in Baltimore County. Right here. Do the work that I did. It doesn't take long. Do a proper bit of research. I spent about an hour and a half, 2 weeks ago, in my office researching what that looks like here. And in our county, over the last 10 years, there are less Christian churches than there were 10 years ago. There are less people who identify as Christian than there were 10 years ago. Significantly so. The lowest numbers since they've ever been recorded for us, less churches. And when the Census Bureau is taking statistics and they're giving people boxes to fill in, the one that says Christian, or who you identify with, also that not only a Protestant, includes Catholic, includes Jehovah's Witness, includes Mormons, they lump them all into that category. So this is not even all people that believe that Jesus is the way to heaven. There are, however, two religious affiliations that are breaking that trend in our county, and one of them exponentially. One of them is Islam, up to just about 20% affiliation in our county. Think about that. Christianity went from, being a Christian went from 75% to under 40%. In a longer period of time. A lot of you know the religious history here. And the other fastest growing thing is the unaffiliated. These are people who have the choice. You can check, I identify as Christian, Muslim, whatever, and then no religious affiliation. That one is growing exponentially. Why is that okay? That shouldn't be okay. That's our friends. That's our family. These are our neighbors. These are our community. This is where your kids are going to grow up. Not okay. And you know what the solution is? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed through the local church. The solution is not less pastors and less churches. It's more pastors and more churches. And we need to be, this is something right in front of us. And the good news is Echo has decided we're going to be part of helping this. We are a part of Churchmen. We are part of their network. We are also people who have given and invested in the Church Rescue Initiative. We have given one-time offerings 2 times to Church Rescue to help rescue churches. Now, we have just introduced to you how we're renaming. We no longer just call it just missions, a giving to missions. We've renamed those funds and expanded them, and we call it Kingdom Builders, which is our giving to missions and missions organizations. And we've got money going all over the world, 26 missionaries all over the world, but we don't want to forget about our country. And so because so many of you have already stepped up and said, I will be a kingdom builder and I'm going to support kingdom builders every month or every year, I'm going to give a certain amount, we are able to do, 2 days from now, on Tuesday, we will start making Church Rescue part of our ongoing, recurring, every monthly giving. We've never been able to do that before. And you know what? Because of your giving, because of the kingdom builders in the room, all of you who are kingdom builders, because of you, it's also going to be the largest check that we aren't cutting a check. It's just going to digitally transfer right over there from our account to there so they can use it. We've committed $7,500 over the course of this year already because of your giving. So thank you. But who's good at math in the room? My dad and me and Moses. Okay, Moses is doing this. Okay, the rest of you aren't good with math. Okay, we're going to start. There's a ministry here for us. So let me give you an easy one. It costs about $5,000 to rescue a church. Okay, $5,000. Now, that doesn't sound like an astronomical amount for a group like ours, but it costs $5,000. What does that mean? They're getting coaching for free for 2 years from somebody that's trained to do it within the Church Boom network. The pastors, because like Pastor Chris has driven this home in my own heart, behind every struggling church is a discouraged pastor. Think about it. And so what they do is they're like paratroopers. Church Boom, when they say, hey, I need help, and you said 80 churches this month? 80 churches this month have reached out to Chris's network and said, could you rescue us? We need help. We're going to close. We don't want to close. We're discouraged and we don't know how to get unstuck. Can you help us? 80. 80. I don't want him to have to say no to any one of them. It's like paratroopers. They are like paratrooping in and they get shoulder to shoulder with the pastors. 2 years of coaching. Not only that, they are flying the pastor and spouse to retreats where they're just pouring in on their dime. They're not asking, hey, let's fly you. Let's take you to this ranch for a weekend of soul care, and we're going to pour into you, your family. Let's talk mission and vision. Let's get you unstuck. Let's pair you up with a coach who can walk you through. And 352 success stories so far. Now, let's do the math. $5,000 rescues a church. We've committed $7,500. Doing the math, exactly how many churches can we rescue? One and a half. Now, I'm thinking about it. How do you rescue half a church? Yeah, the first 10 rows. Or in our church, the last 10 rows. Because, like, you got to get here early to get a seat in the back, right? I know. It happens. And the crowd goes mild, right? But no. And we were talking about it in the 9 a.m. service. And we said, you know, no, we're not going to rescue half a church. We know Pastor Phil's plan has been for, you know, what our giving would currently support is a church and a half. But we just decided as a church, we're going to do at least 2 churches this year. We're going to bump that number up to $10,000. And I want to tell you, God moved in our 9 a.m. service this morning. God really moved on lots of hearts. I was out in the foyer and people left and right. Pastor, I had already decided while I was listening I wanted to give, and then you got up and said, I am ready. We are on board. Family, God is doing something here in us personally, but we are going to be part of this. We're already a part of this. So here's what you can do. You can take an eraser with you on your way home as a reminder. Here's the thing that I had a moment today where I said, yes, yes, God, rewrite that in my life. Rewrite that. Let's rewrite this together. You're also going to take it home and say, we are part of rewriting the story about the church in America. So those of you who are already giving to Kingdom Builders, just be faithful. Thank you for saying yes. Because you're saying yes, we can already start and they can count it. They know every month there's money coming from Echo that they can turn right around and help churches. I mean, you've told me stories, churches that are like, hey, what's your biggest challenge right now? We need a new roof. We got you. What's your biggest challenge? We don't even know how we're going to pay a rent. Okay, you don't worry about that. Let Church Rescue worry about that for the next 6 months. We're going to get you healthy. You know how that feels to a discouraged pastor? They say, I'm not alone. God cares about me. He hasn't forgotten about me, and this is going to work. And they're turning around, and we get to be part of that. You think that makes God's heart happy? Absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. Maybe you don't currently participate in Kingdom Builders, but you're hearing this and you say, I want to hop in and be part of this. Okay, give to Kingdom Builders. We're going to get it there. You can give online through our website. If you give by cash or check, you can designate the envelope Kingdom Builders. If you prefer on your way out, listen, if you prefer on your way out, next to the erasers are these little information cards about Church Boom. A couple testimonies on the back, some stats on the front. QR code. You can scan that QR code. I did it this morning. It'll bring you right to the homepage of Church Boom. Top right-hand corner, you just click on it. You can donate. If you want to give directly to them, fine with me. I don't care how it gets there. If God said to give it, give it. Let's help churches. Amen? I don't care if it comes through us and we get to count it in a tally. I'll let God sort all of that out. If your heart says, I want to give to this, you can give through Echo and we'll get it there. You can give it there directly. Either way you want to do it. But if whatever God's saying, say yes to that. Some of us are starting a fast today and you're giving up, some of you are giving up coffee. You've just saved $9,000 over the next 3 weeks. you give some of that to rescue a church, right? But this is something we ought to be part of. It makes our hearts happy. I cannot tell you how amazing it felt after that service to have so many people just say, man, that helped me. Things are going to be different in my life because of me being here today hearing that message. And I want to be part of helping other churches. That's who you are, and I'm so proud to be part of it. Let's pray together this morning as our ministry team comes, as our worship team comes. Father, thank you for reminding us that it's not too late to change. Thank you for reminding us that you can change anybody who wants to change. And I know as I'm hearing this today, as I'm plugging my own life into the equation, it was no surprise to me the things that you put your finger on my heart, because God, you and I both know those are my issues, those are my struggles. And there's more than one. And I confess to you again, God, please forgive me for falling short of the example of Jesus in these areas. I am the way I am because I choose to be it. And I'm done with that today. In fact, I probably am not the only one right now, God, praying this prayer all over this church. I confess to you, I agree with you that those are issues. So first I ask for your forgiveness. And then I just ask for your help, your lordship, your restoration and your healing. You specialize in transforming things on the inside, so that what comes out of us is Christ-like. So God, I give you and we give you access to our thoughts, our behaviors, our feelings, the soft inside parts of who we are. And we just want you to come in and change what you need to change. Take out what doesn't belong. Reform and mold and change us and shape us into people who are like Jesus. And in so doing, rewrite the script of our life. In fact, all over this room, why don't you use this moment to just, in your own heart, between your heart and God's ear, just name the thing or the things that need to be written out of the script of your life. That's the great thing for us to do today. We confess it. We clear the air between us and God. And then we say, all right, God, each day we're having a God appointment, and our response to the prayer is going to be yes. Yes, okay, God, mold and shape me. Mold and shape me. Rewrite the script in my life. In fact, those of you that are watching online or listening, or you're here in this auditorium this morning, and you don't know Jesus, and as you're listening this morning, you've become very aware of two things: that you need to be saved, and that you're broken. Man, that's the best place. You're never going to be found until you recognize you're lost. And when you recognize you're lost, that can be helpless and hopeless. But I'm here with a message of hope today. There is hope for you in Jesus. Through him, he stands ready to forgive, to save, to adopt, to change, to fill, and to journey with you. He's just waiting for you to surrender to that and invite that. So in this moment, if you're ready to receive God's free gift of salvation through Jesus, Paul tells us in Romans, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's it. And if that's the desire of your heart and that's the belief and you are ready to step off the throne of your life and invite Jesus to sit in its place, just tell him that right now and he will save you. Just like that. Maybe you need some guidance on how to pray. You can pray this way. Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I have fallen short in every way of the example that Jesus set. I am aware of that. I have no way of paying off my debt to you, but I want to respond positively to the good news that Jesus has you've already paid off my debt. So today I just ask you to please forgive me, save me, come live in me and be my Lord. And today I'm expressing my faith in you and I am surrendering control of my life gladly and handing it over to you. I'm giving up independence for dependence. And I know there's more work to be done in me, Jesus. Will you start that process in me right now and walk with me all the days of my life moving forward? Thank you for saving me. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the Echo Community Church podcast. If you prayed that prayer at the end of the message and began following Jesus Christ today, we'd love to celebrate with you and give you some simple next steps to take as you begin your new life with Him. Just email us at info@echochurchmd.com to let us know. If you'd like more information about Echo Community Church, you can check out our Facebook page or our website, echochurchonline.com. Thanks so much for listening.